Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 16th chapter, Matthew 16. We'll be looking at, start at verses 13, same scripture we read last week. Because we're still talking about becoming the church of Acts, becoming the true church, amen? So, Matthew 16, start at verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord. We ask you, Lord, reveal your true church within us. Help us, Father, to catch the same vision that you had to see and touch your people, Father. That our walk would be the walk you desire for us. And that, Father, we would touch hearts and lives. We would see people saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. That we would see people healed. That we would see people delivered, Father. And that we would see your kingdom filled and the kingdom of hell emptied. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So we were talking about the Church of Acts and how it came about and the things that were happening. We stopped in Acts 4. And I want us to turn back to there in Acts 4. And we're gonna finish where we started. And where we finished was Peter and John had gone up to the temple to pray. And the lame man was there begging alms. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And he grabbed him by the hand and he picked him up. And the man began to walk and leap and praise God. Amen? That's what the church is supposed to look like. Just saying. That's what the church is supposed to look like. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're getting all riled up because they just didn't like this. It was tipping their cart a little bit, amen? Rocking their boat a little bit. The thing that they thought they had control of. And now they were seeing these apostles, these disciples who had spent time with Jesus doing something they couldn't do. They had had years to ask God to heal. And never happened. Probably never asked. Amen? So they call Peter and John and they start inquiring about them what was going on. We're going to pick this up in 4 in verse 7. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" By what power or by what name? Well, we know it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know it was in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that what Peter and John said? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm going to give it to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." He didn't say in the name of Paul. He didn't, or Peter. He didn't say in the name of John. He didn't say in the name of anything else. He didn't say in the name of the church. He said in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And that's the name we need to be proclaiming, is the name of Jesus. Amen? Then Peter, you guys know Peter's my favorite guy, right? he loves to get in the middle of it. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "You rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." You see, it's not on our power. It's not on the power of the church. It's on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? That ought to get somebody excited. We speak the name of Jesus Christ. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we speak the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that I can't do any of it. I can't save you. I can't heal you. I can't deliver you. There's absolutely nothing that I can do other than speak the name of Jesus. I can give you what I got, and that's the name of Jesus. I can give you what I got in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was watching an interview the other day, somebody that had been trying to trap, in my opinion, my humble, you know, the world always likes to trap the Christians, right? Tried it with Jesus, didn't work. Tried it with the disciples, the apostles, didn't work. But the world loves to try to trap them. And so they were interviewing Catherine Kuhlman. And they said, well, we understand that you're a faith healer. Catherine Kuhlman looked at him and said, "You understand wrong. I'm not a faith healer. I just believe in the power of Jesus Christ, and people get healed." Amen? Come on, that, you guys got to start getting excited here. We're talking about becoming the same church that we read about in Acts. Amen? If those things were taking place in Acts, they ought to be taking place today. Nothing's changed. Hebrews tells us that. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit was given for all those who were called, who were afar off. Amen? That's us. That's us. Now listen to their response. You see, they were agitated. These Pharisees and Sadducees saw their kingdom falling down. They were no longer in charge of it. They were not the ones in control because Jesus was in control. The same Jesus we sang about. the same Jesus we talked about, the breath came back into his life, amen? The same Jesus that rose from the dead. The same Jesus that died for our sins. This is the Jesus we're talking about. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were beside themselves. It says in verse 13, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Oh God, give me unlearned and ignorance if that's what it takes. Amen? "They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they were something special." It's not what it says. Oh, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm here to tell you, when we're here with Jesus, Jesus does something spectacular, amen? All we got to do is believe. I get so excited when I start reading about the book of Acts. I get so excited about knowing that this is the same thing that God wants to do here. And so they go on and they were trying to figure out what to do. And it goes down into verse 17 and it says, "But that it spread no further among the people, In other words, that our kingdom doesn't lose anything less. Amen? Let us straightly threaten them. Isn't that like the world? That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. How many of you know that that's still going on right here in the United States right now? I'm always reading about some preacher being told, you can't preach here. Who says? Am I going to let them intimidate me? I don't. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered. Now these are Peter. This is Peter and John, the same Peter that was scared to death to tell this little girl that he knew Jesus. Amen? And now he's telling the very powers that crucified Jesus what it is. You think he received a little bit of boldness when he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken or listen unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm here to ask you this morning, have you seen and heard about the things of Jesus? Have you seen and heard about the power of the Holy Spirit? Or is this something that is foreign to you? Because I believe if you've seen and heard about the power of God, you can do nothing less than speak of it. Because the world can't intimidate you. Jesus told Peter, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church I'm going to build. No matter what they tell us, no matter what they do to us, they tried everything. And they couldn't stop it. They tried to kill the disciples. They tried to put them in prison. But they couldn't stop the word of God. Amen? And so we drop down a little bit further. And Peter and John, they've gone back to the crowd. Now, a lot of people read this and they think that, you know, there was only a few people, maybe, you know, 10 or 12 or 14, maybe 15 or 20 that they went back to. They went to a crowd that was 120 in the upper room and now was expanded by a minimum of 3,000. Amen? We're talking about a group of people here. So they go back to them. And in verse 29, they begin to pray. And this is their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and the wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, have we prayed yet? Have we prayed yet? When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all, oh, I love that word, all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The same man that cowered as Jesus was going to the cross now spoke the word with boldness. We learned in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit came for what purpose? Come on, somebody shout it out. I know you remember. powerful witness, to give us power to be a witness, to give us power to speak the name of Jesus, even when there's opposition. But oh, so often we're intimidated. Brother, you don't understand. We can't go into our schools and speak the name of Jesus. Hogwash, we can, if we're just bold enough to do it. Oh, you don't understand. We've been told we can't go to this park or that park. We can't get this far away from abortion clinics. We can't go here. We can't go there. That's a bunch of hogwash. We can go anywhere the Spirit leads us if we're bold enough to do so. There you go. Get excited. Amen. Now, I want to just share with you this word boldness in the Greek. This word boldness is the word parousia. And it's a derivative of a couple words, but it means all out spokenness. That is frankness, bluntness, publicly. By implication, assurance. You see, when we speak the name of Jesus, we should have a boldness to speak publicly. We should have a boldness, a fearlessness to speak, regardless of what somebody says. Boldness, according to the dictionary, is a brave and confident way of behaving that shows no fear. Did you get that? A brave and confident way of behaving that shows no fear. It is the power of God. Paul says in Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen? We need not be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is we allow intimidation to step in. And we allow those things to cause us fear. Or we're afraid of the rejection that some are going to give us. I'll guarantee you, Paul and the rest of the apostles and all the disciples that came after experienced a lot of rejection. But you know what's neat? They don't write about the rejection. They don't write about the rejection. They write about the victory in Jesus Christ, amen? That's what they want us to know about. The victory in Jesus Christ because of the boldness of speaking his word. But I like this in verse 31. When they had prayed... You know, I can't wait till the day when we start seeing these altars fill up 30 minutes, an hour, hour and a half before services on Sunday morning while we're doing worship practice and trying to get ready. And all, these altars are filled with saints up here praying and seeking God for what he's going to do today. What the thing that he wants to accomplish. Amen? I can't wait to see the days that on Wednesday night when we have our intercessory prayer that it's more than just 10 or 11 of us. To where this whole place is filled with people that are so hungry to see God move that they're here praying time after time after time. You see, if we don't get back to prayer, it'll never happen for us. That's the first thing they did. They prayed, and after they prayed, God began to move, and they began to shake the place, and they were, as they were praying for boldness. It's not getting anybody excited. We need to speak the name of Jesus with boldness. We need to begin to believe that we believe, that we believe, that we believe. And if we don't believe, we need to ask God to help our unbelief. Amen? The same way the man that came to Jesus and he confessed, "Jesus, you can heal my daughter." And Jesus said, "If you can believe it." How many of you can believe this morning? I can believe this morning. And when I can't believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Amen? The same way there, because Jesus hasn't changed. You guys are too quiet. Chapter 5, we talked a little bit about how the church had been coming together and they were selling all their stuff and having all things common. And I told you last week, I'm not advocating that. Please don't sell your stuff and bring it here. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm just saying that's what they did. As that was happening, there were two, Ananias and Sapphira, that came and they were looking for recognition. How many of you know sometimes people are looking for recognition? Amen? Sometimes people just want recognition. Oh, look what I did. I'm so great. God, you know. They were looking for recognition. So Ananias, he brings part of what he sold. Now, how many of you know that when he sold his property, he owned what he had? Amen? He owned it all. But he lied to the Holy Spirit. That's what the word says. He didn't lie to Peter. He lied to the Holy Spirit. Oh, don't get caught lying to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Sometimes I think some of the songs we sing, we're getting real close. Amen? And so he falls down dead. A little while later, his wife comes in looking for him. You know, anybody ever had your spouse come looking for you because you didn't show back up when you were supposed to be? I usually get a phone call. "Where are you at?" So they ask Sapphira, they say, "Did you sell this piece of property?" "Uh-huh." "Was it for this amount?" "Uh-huh." Over she goes. She lied to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then look at what happens. It says, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." You know what Solomon's porch was? That was the temple. That was the church of their day. They were all together at church, praising the Lord. Amen? Why do you think Satan hates the church so much? Why do you think he's trying to keep people out of the church so much? Because in the church, there's power. I'll say it again. In the church, there's power. Because we're together. The word says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That's a pretty big, I lost the word. It's not the first time. Exponential increase. Amen? Sometimes I got to learn how to speak English. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest dared not join himself to them. But the people magnify them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Oh, we're happy with just one or two. Amen? Multitudes came to the Lord. Why? Because of the power of God that was moving through them. It had nothing to do with the individual. It had everything to do with the name of Jesus. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit. If you think for 1 minute that you are the catalyst, that you are the one that makes the chains, you're wrong. If you think that it's you that's healing when you pray for someone, you're wrong. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And in, you know, when we start trying to take that, we lose it. Oh yeah, I can do all things, but it's through Christ. Amen? In me, even Paul said, in me I'm nothing. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch. Now here's where the church is supposed to be. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. That's where the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be the best hospital there is. Oh, come on, that was pretty weak. We're supposed to be the best hospital there is. Amen? All right. There came also, verse 16, a multitude out of the cities. Now we're not talking about onesies and twosies. We're talking about multitudes, hundreds of people, thousands of people. They came out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. You see, I don't believe that sickness is supposed to be in the church. I don't believe that sickness is supposed to be surrounding the church and the community. When the church becomes the church, when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, we should expect God to do these things. Because his word says so. And until we begin to expect it, it is not going to happen. We were listening to a song earlier. Where's the songer? What you gonna do today, Lord? What you gonna do today? Miracles, signs, wonders. What you gonna do today? How many of you come to church expecting to see miracles, signs, and wonders at the altars? How many of you come to church expecting to see miracles, signs, and wonders out in the parking lot? How many of you come expecting to see miracles, signs, and wonders to everyone that comes by? That's what I expect. That's what I pray for. I don't know how I can get you guys excited. Wow. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. The desire for God to heal is powerful. The desire for God to see us born again is real. That's why he sent his son, amen? Not for any other reason, but to see men saved, to see them go from the pits of hell to the gates of heaven. But we're the ones with the name. We're the ones that proclaim. We're the ones that have the power. The power of what? Life and death in our tongues. See, a lot of people don't equate that. But the power of life and death is in our tongues, the power to speak the name of Jesus Christ, the power to watch men, women, boys, girls come to Jesus Christ and see them go from death unto life, amen? Come on, that ought to get you guys excited. If we could ever get the fire of God really burning in our hearts, we'd be like the prophet. He said, I've been rejected too many times, God. I'm not going to speak your word no more. And then what happened? The fire of God began to burn deep within him. The fire of God began to be too much to contain. I'm here to tell you, if the name of Jesus isn't too much to contain, you don't have enough fire yet. We need to spend time at the altar and get the fire, amen? The power of life and death is in our tongue. Jesus gave it to us. We need to use it. Can you just imagine if all of us here purposed in our hearts. How many of you believe that the word says that God will give us the desires of our heart? When the desires of our heart line up with his will, the word says he will give us the desire of our heart. If every one of us purposed in our heart that this year, before the end of this year, before January 1st, I personally am going to lead one soul to Jesus. Now, it may take talking to hundreds, but I personally am going to lead one person to Jesus Christ. Pretty soon, this church would not be able to contain the amount of people that were coming to Jesus. Amen? That's what the Church of Acts was doing. 3,000 on the first sermon from a guy who was scared to death to speak the name of Jesus. 3,000. Multitudes coming afterwards after they were threatened and thrown in jail and told that they couldn't speak in the name of Jesus. Multitudes coming because they prayed for boldness. If we could have our prayer team come forward.